Hi, welcome to This Expat Life. My name is Amanda Maxime, and as a certified coach, I help high-achieving expats find more fulfillment and happiness in their global lives. Because while life abroad is often amazing, it is not only rainbows and butterflies, as all experienced expats know. In This Expat Life, I open up space for all facets of life abroad and what you can do to thrive in it. And to support you in your personal, professional, and geographic life transitions, I share tips, tell relatable stories, and connect with fellow expats. Whether you've just moved abroad or you are a seasoned expat, This Expat Life is your place to find real understanding and to grow from the inside out. Enjoy the show. Hey, what's up, you guys? Welcome back to another episode of This Expat Life. I am happy that you are here. And for this episode, I was thinking, what do I want to talk about today? And I came up with something that is a question that people keep asking me every time that I share that I was a diplomat in a previous life. And this is not something that I say when I introduce myself right away. I talk about how I'm a life coach for high-achieving expats, helping them to feel steady, happy, and fulfilled in their global life wherever they go. But then they get curious and they ask me, what did you do before? And then I share that I was a diplomat. And they go like, oh, wow. The first question is, what made you leave? And the second question is always, would you go back to being a diplomat? Or sometimes they skip the first question in the first place. And because I get this question all the time, I figured, why not record a podcast episode with my answer? Because hopefully that will also inspire you a little bit. Perhaps you are thinking of making a career change or making another big decision, and perhaps you don't feel confident in going ahead with it. So this episode is not going to be with tips or new perspectives or insights. I'm just going to share my personal experience and my answer to that question. And hopefully it will ignite something within you as well, or you can just relate to it. And so this question of would you go back to being a diplomat always surprises me, because I'm like, whenever I'm talking about my current job, can't you see the look on my face? I think that's a clear hint of whether I would go back or not. So that question always surprises me a little bit, but I know why people ask it. It's because diplomacy is a super prestigious career. You don't get in easily. And what I always say, it's also a monopoly. It's not like I can go to the competitors and take the same job, unless I get a new nationality, of course. So it's this very sort of exclusive, prestigious, hard to get in career with a lot of good perks, with a lot of job security, and a really exciting global life guaranteed. So for a lot of people, this is the dream, just like it was the dream for me as well at some point. And almost everyone doesn't understand why you would just quote unquote throw that away. And I guess this makes them see my career change to coaching and entrepreneurship, perhaps as a little detour. And for them, it would make sense if at some point I decide, okay, I'm going back again. But more about that in a moment, if I would go back or not. I just wanted to share a little recap for those who don't really know me. I'm a life coach for high-achieving expats, and I've been doing this work for a little over 3 years now. And in December 2021, I quit my diplomacy job. I left. And this was after I had worked there for nearly 7 years. So in April 2015, I moved back from London, where I was living and working at the time, to The Hague to start my diplomatic class, as we call it. This is a 3 month, or it used to be a 3 month full-time training with a group of young diplomats who were also about to start their careers. And we had so much fun. I'm actually having a reunion with them because it's been 10 years since we started next week. So I'm really looking forward to that. We had a lot of fun. We learned a lot. It was really focused on skills and also on knowledge. And it was really a really cool training. And then 3 months later, I started my first posting at the headquarters in the Netherlands, in The Hague. So I worked for the Dutch Ministry of Foreign Affairs. And I did that job for 2 years. I was responsible for the bilateral relations of a number of European countries, the relationship with the Netherlands. Most of them were in Southern Europe, but I also dealt with the UK and Ireland for some time, also during Brexit. So that was a very interesting period. And then I moved to Brasilia, the capital of Brazil, for my initially 2-year posting at the embassy there. And while I was there, my posting got extended with another year, which I was really happy with because I was really enjoying my life in Brazil. And at the embassy, I was officially responsible for economic affairs, but there isn't so much trade or economic stuff going on in the capital of Brazil, at least not for the Netherlands. And so I pivoted my job a little bit, not a little bit, fully, first to corporate social responsibility and then eventually also to climate affairs. So I was responsible for everything related to the Amazon. And that was a really interesting time when Bolsonaro came to power and there were fires in the Amazon. After 3 years, I moved back to the Netherlands, and this was a deliberate choice because I already knew I wanted to quit my diplomacy job. I just wanted to land again in the Netherlands, buy a house, get myself settled, and then change towards entrepreneurship and coaching. There were opportunities for me to go abroad again for 1, 2, 3 years, but I really thought no. I love adventure and the opportunities sound so exciting, but I have this bigger dream, this long-term desire, and if I don't act on it now, I will never get there. So I had to say no to some really interesting opportunities that I could apply for, that I was already heading towards actually, and to really stand my ground with myself and be like, no, I'm going back because I want to get started on my long-term dream. Well, that dream got a little delay because when I moved back home 3 weeks after I got into my new house, my dad passed away. There were lockdowns. I was a mess. And so I originally wanted to quit my job 6 months after I had moved back, but that turned out to be nearly a year and a half. And that was fine at that time. So now you know, I worked for nearly 7 years as a diplomat. Before that, I was working at a company, two companies actually, in London. So I also have some corporate experience. And now I work as a coach. And the reason why I left that prestigious career that so many dream about is because it didn't fulfill me truly on the inside. I was driven by the work that I was doing for sure. I really, really loved working on the Amazon. It's a huge passion of mine. In fact, I have another business idea related to the Amazon. I've been having it for years already, so it's time to start acting on that one too. But I was really driven by deadlines and by the excitement and the pressure that was on some of these topics and the political vibe around it. I studied Latin American politics and international relations. So, you know, that is my thing. But it wasn't really fulfilling. So there were so many days, especially when I was posted here in the Netherlands, that I woke up on Monday morning and I just thought, I don't want to start the day. And even in Brasilia, I remember driving to work and just being so tired and just be like, I don't want to go to the office today. And when I was there, you know, as I said, there was the pressure, the deadlines, the exciting projects as well, and the travel. It really did have a good part too. But on the inside, I knew like, okay, if I do this long term, it's sucking the soul out of me. This is not who I truly am. This is not what I really dream of. And so by Friday, I always needed the afternoon, evening, fully, by myself, to recover, to regain my energy, because I had spent so much of it on my job during the week, but I didn't get so much back. And so there was a clear sign for me that I wasn't truly enjoying this career. And to get a little bit more specific why I wasn't enjoying it, I found that diplomacy, or let me just talk for my Ministry of Foreign Affairs, where I worked, because I don't know how it is for other countries. I found it very bureaucratic, not as bureaucratic as other government bodies. I think this ministry was, you know, a little bit more high speed, entrepreneurial, that kind of stuff. But for me, it was way too bureaucratic. It was incredibly process oriented. And that also had to do with the jobs that I was doing, especially at the headquarters. Because when I came back from Brazil, I worked on the bilateral relationships with Indonesia. And whenever you are a country desk officer, by nature, you have to deal with a lot of internal processes. And I don't know, I am not a process girl. I am super, super outcome oriented. I want to book results and I'm very fast. So that whole process orientation, the bureaucracy, the slowness of it all that really didn't match who I was and still am. And I liked my job when I was working in Brasilia because at some point I was the only expert on the Amazon together with someone else in the ministry. And I worked one-on-one with my ambassador because it became really political. And so I felt a lot of agency over my topic, even though if you really want to make things happen or change things or it's very political, you need to go up the line, as they say there. So you can't decide on stuff on your own, obviously. And there are a lot of layers that you need to pass first before it gets decided by the minister. And that made it, one, very slow, but also, two, what I found is that the ministry was very risk averse. And I love taking risks. I take a lot of risks in my life, and I feel really comfortable with it. And otherwise, I wouldn't be an entrepreneur either. I once did a quiz from Tony Robbins where you could see what values you were driven by or something. And when I filled out that quiz, uncertainty came up as my number one. And for my friends who were doing the same, it was certainty. And so they really need certainty in their life, and a lot of people need that. But I like uncertainty, and this is really what brings out the best in me. So to then be in a risk-averse environment all the time, again, it was sucking the soul out of me. And it's not like I'm the most risk-taking person, or I was the most ambitious one at the ministry. Far from it, I have to say. I was also not the most creative one. I didn't dare to, you know, put myself out there and think of a whole new creative project, even though the people who did that, like, it was really good for the ministry sometimes to get that boost of creativity. I did it in my first year when I organized a meeting with businesses who were operating in Spain, and everyone was just like, oh my God, Amanda, that's amazing. And I thought, this is just what I did in my previous corporate job. But slowly, I kind of lost that spark because it's a very conforming environment as well. And that's a topic for another time, I guess. How can you remain authentic in such an environment? But I think that was also, I was also conforming in it. And I kind of lost my own creativity and my own courage and my own, I don't know, entrepreneurial energy, I guess. Although I really don't want to blame just the environment. I had a saying in it too, obviously. But okay, long story short, I realized this isn't the place for me if I want to thrive. And I noticed that by checking in with my body, by seeing how I was feeling physically, emotionally, mentally. And this is when I realized, okay, this is not for me long term, and I'm going to leave when I move back to the Netherlands. And so I did. And now, 3 years later, I'm loving my life still, and people still ask me, would you go back? I have a friend that I met through another friend. He lives in Rio. We hung out very often there. And whenever I see my mutual friend who spends a lot of time in The Hague and Rio, she says, oh, I spoke to our friend again, and he keeps asking you, why did Amanda leave? Every time they see each other and they speak about me, he asks this question. He just doesn't understand it. And I'm always surprised with it because I'm like, it's been 3 years. Why are people still asking about this? So to answer the question, would I go back to being a diplomat? Well, I think you already know the answer. It's a no. Although I also want to say never say never. I am someone who comes back on her decisions. This is why I take them so easily, because I don't think they're permanent. And so there's not so much pressure on it. So I don't want to say I'll never go back, just simply because I don't know what life has in store for me. But if it's up to me, and for what I can see now, it's a firm no. I'm not going back to being a diplomat. And the reason is really because I'm so much happier now than I was as a diplomat. And that to me is everything. Is everything perfect now? No, of course not. I have my own struggles as an entrepreneur. But overall, I'm so much more on the right path, and I sense that in my body. So now when I wake up on Monday mornings, I feel excited for the week. Not every week, I'm going to be honest with you. Sometimes my calendar is so full, and there are so many things that I need to do, I'm just like, whoa, it's a lot. And the uncertainty of entrepreneurship sometimes also weighs on me, financial insecurity especially. But overall, I wake up feeling excited for the day, and I didn't feel like that Mondays to Fridays as a diplomat. Also not in my corporate career in London, by the way. Only on the weekends, I felt like I was becoming myself again. And the last 3 years have been completely different. I wake up feeling excited for the day and I want to do more. There's never enough time in a day for my ideas. And since I am driven by uncertainty and I like taking risks, I'm now in a good position for that. Because as an entrepreneur, you need to take risks and you need to deal with uncertainty all the time. And so it matches my personality a little bit better. And something else that is also great for me now, as I said, I love going high speed. I love also doing so many different things. This is also what attracted me in diplomacy, by the way, because every couple of years you move position and you get to do something new in a new country. So there's a lot of diversity in the roles. And I know I really need that for myself. I'm not someone who can do the same thing for years and years. And so now as an entrepreneur, I still get to do that because I get to choose what I want to do, what I'm going to work on, who I'm helping. So for example, I'm really niching down on the high achieving expats because this is the group that I love working with so much. Those independent, rational, hardworking go-getters who don't need anyone holding their hand, but they could use a little help on their inner world and aligning a few things here and there. So my personality really matches with my current role as a coach and entrepreneur. There's the uncertainty, the risks, the high speed. I can go as fast as I like. I get to do whatever I want. It has to bring in the money, of course. But if I feel like, oh, this podcast, for example, I started it because I felt a spark around it and I wanted to share stories. And I can just do that. And that is the other thing that I really love now. Not only do I get to do a wide variety of things, I decide what I work on. I don't need to ask for anyone's permission. And my only feedback loop is whether I am selling enough or not. And if I'm not, for example, I'll just need to pivot again. But there's no one telling me you shouldn't be doing that, or you're not allowed to, or there's no space for that, or there's no budget for it, or we don't see why you should do that. I get to decide what I work on. I get to decide what trainings I want to follow. I get to decide where I travel to. And that to me is everything. But like I said, not everything is perfect. Life is still life. And also when you are doing your dream job and you are excited every Monday morning, there are still challenges on your way. In the last couple of months, I have to admit, from time to time, I've been thinking more about going back to corporate. Not really. It's just like a theoretical exercise. Like, because I was missing a few things in the last couple of months. It started since Christmas when I saw everyone going for Christmas drinks with their companies. And I'm like, I'm here all alone. There's no Christmas bonus for me. There's no Christmas party. I need to change this. So for next year, I'm going to add all those things, regardless of how big my team is. If it's just me, it will be a party with myself. But I have been thinking about like, oh yeah, there are a few elements that I sometimes miss from my diplomacy career. And if I wouldn't be so fully dedicated to my long-term dream and my vision and my love for the coaching that I do, these elements would make me doubt and perhaps would make me go back. But that's not the case because I feel really good in what I do. And I have a little list here because I was like, what do I actually miss? And the first thing for sure that I miss is the money. Now, as an entrepreneur, you have the uncertainty and revenue, you know, can be a lot and it can be a lot less the next month. And so it changes all the time. It's never really secure. And sometimes I do miss like a steady, good paycheck coming in. As a diplomat, especially when you're posted abroad, you make a decent amount of money. And it's the same every month. And it's that consistency, I think, that I sometimes miss a little bit. Because as a diplomat, I didn't need to worry about money. And it's not like I worry now all the time. But there have been times that I worry a little bit, like when it was a lower month, for example, in January, as it often is in January, you start to wonder like, oh, if it stays this way, what will that mean for me? So the consistent good paycheck is something that I miss. Another thing that I miss is the business travel. I love flying business class. And it's not like I did that every time as a diplomat, but I really miss having business trips. So as a diplomat in Brazil, Brasilia specifically, I needed to travel a lot in Brazil. And I miss someone just sending me somewhere where I need to perform, and that company, organization, person, whatever, paying me, and I can eat good food and I'm in a nice hotel, and I can just say, oh, I need to travel again this week. Because right now I still travel a lot, but it's always my decision. It's my choice. It's my money. So I really need to think carefully, is this the right trip for me or not? So I miss the business travel for sure. Those are always the cherries on the pie as a diplomat. Even when you have to deal with all the bureaucracy, those were the cherries. Although during COVID, we couldn't travel. So the business travel is something that I miss. I miss the people as well sometimes. Thankfully, I still have a few good friends from my diplomacy career. But I miss working sometimes with really bright, really dedicated people. And I'm really lucky because I get to choose now whoever I work with, my coachees, but also if I have a partnership with someone. And my coachees are all amazing. They inspire me so much. They're smart. They're fun. They're kind. So I really work with nice people, but this is obviously just in a one-on-one session. And it's different when you work with colleagues. And sometimes I miss being in that environment with a lot of bright, inspiring people who are really committed to making this world a better place. And this is something that really hurt me during COVID, where, you know, they always talk about civil servants like, oh, they're lazy and they don't work enough. But during COVID, it was also the government was put in a bad light by some groups of people, as if the government had malintentions. But knowing the people that I worked with, I'm like, wow, these people are so committed to making this world a better place. And they work such long hours. And I remember I had a full workday, and then there was the evacuation going on in Afghanistan, in Kabul. And they needed extra people to work a night shift on evacuating people to the airport. And I signed up, and I think we were 40 other people who just worked until 8 a.m. the next day, even though we just had a whole workday already without any sleep. And so this is really the level of dedication that is there. And I sometimes miss being around those kind of people all the time. Another thing that I miss is, not really, but in a different way, is the diversity. So my work is now, I get to do whatever I want and I can make it as diverse as I want. But sometimes I do miss knowing like, oh, in 3 years, I'm going to do something completely different again. And I can still do that. I can pivot and I can start my Amazon business, but it requires a lot for me. And the other thing that I've been missing since Christmas is the corporate vibes. So I miss a little bit, you know, going to an office, wearing nice clothes, having Christmas drinks or whatever kind of drinks with your colleagues, meetings, business meetings, you know, corporate vibes. I miss that sometimes, because if you are watching this on YouTube, you see me here in my living room. I spend a lot of time here. I also go to a co-working space and I try to work as often as I can from other cities and countries. But it's not corporate vibes. And so, you know, my freedom is still worth more to me than corporate vibes, but it is something that I occasionally miss. And this is also what I'm intentionally trying to add to my business now. And the other thing that I miss is high-level stuff. I used to work on the Amazon, like a really important thing for our world. I used to have meetings with ministers. I flew in the government plane a couple of times. I worked on Brexit. Like, these are all really important topics in our world. And I really believe as the world, we need to work together. There are major challenges that we have that we can't deal with on our own, or that we can't solve on our own. And so all these topics, they were like super important and they were high level. And I miss working at that level. So I miss the content of it. And I also miss, I don't know, working with those high-level people, because it's a different way of working. It's a different kind of quality. It's a higher level. And sometimes I miss that, because right now it's just me and I have very inspiring coaches. Some of them are CEOs, managing directors, and it's really cool for me as well to work with them and to take a look in their world. But I miss having those kind of people like in my own team, I would say. And there's another thing that I sometimes miss from, although it's not really related to diplomacy, but I sometimes miss having a framework I just need to